Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Welcome, anyway, to Encouragementology tonight. We are talking about routines and being in a rut and how to redesign your day. How can you really get something else going, right? Do routines sound relaxing to you? You know, the comfort of knowing what's coming around every turn so you can spend part of your day on autopilot. What happens, though, if routines get too easy and comfortable? Maybe instead of comfort, you identify with up at 6:30 a.m., coffee by 6:33 a.m., shower, drop-offs, work, meetings, dinner, sports, laundry, exhaustion, beep, beep, beep. Has your life become too predictable? Has autopilot removed the sheer enjoyment of living? Are you in a rut? No need to worry. You have the opportunity to take back the control to re-engineer and redesign your life. Yes, you do, and we're going to talk about it. So maybe it's time to shake things up a bit. You know, we can all fall into habits that no longer serve us. We bear down, we keep digging faster instead of smarter. We get a big hole, and possibly we lose track of where we're going. Are you in that hole? Now, you can think of autopilot as a handy time and skill-saving friend. Just stick it on autopilot, go on with your day. Something to take over and make sure you get to where you're going with consistency and timing. Or you can see autopilot as denial, keeping you in a rut for longer than necessary. It's just what you do. It's second nature. You've made your bed. What? No, never accept mediocre. Never accept less than you deserve. Never settle for what you know right now. Life is about challenges. Challenges that we encounter in our lives and life that we choose to challenge. Take on the stigma, the faulty perception, the inherited belief system, and push back. Your life and your routine can change every day if you want it to. Now, not sure you're actually in this rut yet? Well, let's listen to these explanations of being in a rut and see if you identify with any or all of them. Every day seems the same. You might even have trouble remembering what day of week it is. Is it Monday or is it Friday? It doesn't matter because your days feel indistinguishable from one another. You feel like you're trying to get through another day. Your goal is to keep putting one foot ahead of the other until the day is done. You don't feel excited or inspired. You feel unmotivated. You might want to take on new projects or engage in a creative task, but it feels like your motivation has run dry. You just can't seem to get started. You feel unfulfilled. Life feels dull and boring. You want to try new things, but you don't know where to begin. You want to change, but the fear of the temporary discomfort that comes with it is too much. You know that changing things up will make you happier in the long run, but you keep sticking with the status quo because it means you don't have to risk any pain or failure. Does any of that ring true in your life? Are you sitting there shaking your head saying, "Wow, I didn't realize I was in a rut. I was on autopilot." Well, the first step is admitting to yourself that you have a problem with your current quality of life. Then identifying what and where and then and only then you can make a change. There is power in hearing, but empowerment is in doing. I read an article by James Clear, author, entrepreneur, and photographer who studies and writes about human behavior. The article is entitled, if you look it up, How to Start New Habits That Actually Stick. Whew. Now we're approaching the end of the year and we know about those habits that we would like to have stick, but we make them New Year's resolution and we never really follow through. Well, listen to this. Your life today is essentially the sum of your habits. How in shape or out of shape you are, a result of your habits. How happy or unhappy you are, a result of your habits. How successful or unsuccessful you are, a result of your habits. What you repeatedly do, what you spend your time thinking about and doing each day, ultimately forms the person you are, the things you believe, and the personality that you portray. Have you ever really thought about it that way? But what if you want to improve? What if you want to form new habits? How would you go about doing that? Well, it turns out there's a helpful framework that can make it easier to stick to a new habit so that you can improve your health, your work, and just basically your life in general. There is a four-step pattern that is the backbone of every habit. And your brain runs through these steps in the same order each and every time. Want to know what those are? Well, good, because I'm going to tell you. The first one is called cue. Cue. The cue triggers your brain to initiate a behavior. It's a bit of information that predicts a reward. Our prehistoric ancestors were paying attention to cues that signaled the location of primary rewards like food, water, and sex. Today, we have evolved a bit, but we spend more of our time learning cues that predict secondary rewards like money, fame, power and status, praise and approval, love and friendship, or a sense of personal satisfaction. Of course, these pursuits also indirectly improve our odds of survival. You can see that. Might look kind of gray, but it's true. And reproduction, which is the deeper motivator for everything we do. Your mind is continuously analyzing your internal and external environment, always looking for rewards, right? Because the cue is the first indication that we're close to a reward. It naturally leads to the second thing, which is cravings. Cravings are the second step of the habit loop, and they are the motivational force behind every habit. Without some level of motivation or desire, without craving a change, we have no reason to act. What you crave is not the habit itself, but it's the change in state that it delivers. So, want a cigarette? Well, you're not really craving smoking a cigarette. You're craving the feeling of relief that it provides. You're not really motivated to brush your teeth, but rather by the feeling of a clean mouth. You don't really want to turn on the television. You want to be entertained. Every craving is linked to a desire to change that internal state, no matter what it is. Now, cravings differ from person to person. In theory, any piece of information could trigger a craving, but in practice, people are not motivated by the same cues. Like a gambler. For a gambler, the sound of slot machines can be a big trigger that sparks an intense wave of desire. For someone who rarely gambles, that jingle and jangle and chimes of a casino are really just like background noise. Are you thinking about your cues, your triggers? Cues are meaningless until they're interpreted as thoughts. And these thoughts and feelings and emotions are what transform the cue into a craving. So now we can pay a little closer attention to that. The third step is the response. The response is the actual habit you perform, which can take the form of a thought or an action. Whether a response occurs depends on how motivated you are and how much friction is associated with this behavior. In particular, does it require more physical or mental effort than you're willing to expand? Right? Your response also depends on your ability. Now, that sounds simple, but a habit can only occur if you're capable of doing it. So you want to dunk a basketball, but you can't jump high enough? Well, sorry, you're out of luck. And then finally, the response delivers the reward. Rewards are the end goal of every habit. It's what we do. It's why we're motivated. The cue is about noticing the reward. The craving is about wanting the reward. The response is about obtaining the reward. Now, we chase rewards because they serve two purposes. They satisfy us and they teach us. The cue triggers a craving, which motivates a response, which provides a reward, which satisfies a craving, and ultimately becomes associated with the cue. Are you lost yet? Yes, it's one big loop. Together, these four steps form a neurological feedback loop. Cue, craving, response, reward. Cue, craving, response, reward. That ultimately allows you to create automatic habits. We can split these four steps into two phases. The problem phase and the solution phase. Black and white, the problem phase includes the cue and the craving, and it's when you realize that something needs to change. The solution phase includes the response and the reward, and it's when you take action and you achieve the change you desire. We can transform these steps, these four steps, into a practical framework that you can use to design good habits and eliminate bad ones. It's called the Four Laws of Behavior Change. It provides a simple set of rules for creating good habits and breaking bad ones. Now, you can think of each law that I'm going to tell you about as a lever that influences your behavior. When the levers are in the right position, it creates a good habit. It's effortless. When they're in the wrong position, it's nearly impossible. So, how do you create a good habit? Okay, there's four laws. The first law relating to cue is make it obvious. Make it obvious. This trigger, make it obvious. The second law associated with craving is make it attractive. Okay? The third law, which is associated with response, is make it easy. Obtainable, right? The fourth law, which is associated with reward, is make it satisfying. I keep going back to, I still want to be a gym rat. I don't know why. I really don't think I want to. I think it's just society wants me to work out. Maybe that's it. But it's kind of a joke in my household. But every time I say I'm going to join the gym, or, you know, after this weekend of eating crazy, horrible food, I'm going to get back on the wagon. But so make it obvious, make it attractive, make it easy, and make it satisfying. So where could you apply that four-step law? Where could you apply that in your life? Are you thinking about a good habit that you want to create in your life? Now, we can invert these laws to learn how to break a bad habit. So now, switch gears and think about some of the bad habits that you have. So how do we break those? Inversion of the first law is to make it invisible. Make it invisible. Inversion of the second law is to make it unattractive. Okay? Inversion of the third law is to make it difficult. an inversion of the fourth law is to make it unsatisfying. Make it invisible, make it unattractive, make it difficult, and make it unsatisfying. Is your mind racing on how you could possibly take your bad habit and apply those laws? Okay, well, whenever you want to change your behavior, you can simply ask yourself, how can I make it obvious? How can I make it attractive? How can I make it easy? And how can I make it satisfying? Hope you were taking notes, really thinking about that. I would love to hear from you too. Please send me a message on Facebook if you've actually applied those laws and it's worked. I would love to share your good news with everyone else. And you can find that on Encouragementology on Facebook. You know, sounds so simple, doesn't it? Nope. Life is complicated and human behavior is never predictable. And as always, remember, you are ever changing. So just because you didn't see it before and just because you haven't taken the control that you know you now have, doesn't mean you can't reroute and redesign your day. James Clear just taught us that motivation comes from the habits we form. Unsatisfied with your routine and the habits that you've created? Take time, make a change. Where to begin? How to begin? And how many times have we enthusiastically announced we're ready to make a big change only to fall back into comfortable and unsatisfying routines? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I keep saying I'm going to do something and then I used to announce it, make a big deal about it, but then when I fell through, I'd have to sort of eat crow. So now, until I'm ready to really do it, I keep it to myself. I don't know if you've done that as well. We've all made several similar attempts in the past to revamp. We just talked about New Year's Eve resolutions. Those are the easiest to break. But, you know, we've done this and then we find ourselves right back to where we started, still searching for our keys every time we leave the house, right? We say we're going to put them right there and we still don't do it. Still unable to create and stick with a system, still in the jeans we once dubbed our bloat jeans, which morphed into our everyday jeans, and still giving to others while neglecting self-care. People are often stuck in a state of stable misery, a place people tend to park it and stall out their lives. Most people don't make radical adjustments for the better because the discomfort and uncertainty of change is more frightening than the current misery they've grown so, so comfortable with. In sales, we used to call this no pain, no change, meaning someone was not going to adopt a new idea or purchase a new solution unless they felt discomfort in their current position. So, you don't feel it yet? Then let's poke some holes until it's no longer comfortable to stay where you are. You know, research shows that success in life is in some degrees related to IQ. But that only goes so far. At some point along the journey, EQ, which is emotional quotient, becomes the driving force. EQ relates to our ability to empathize with others. What's often left out of this discussion, however, is our ability to empathize with ourselves. We talk about it all the time on the show. Having the self-awareness to know what your strengths and your weaknesses are, forgiving ourselves of past mistakes, and creating a deliberate path forward where each decision made is a decision that truly reflects what we want out of our lives. Now, it's a process, so you don't just wake up and, yep, I'm so self-aware, I understand everything I want to do, today is all about me, I'm moving forward. It's usually a much longer process. It keeps us on our toes. It questions us when we take the people in our lives for granted and we put everybody on the back burner. You know, we're worried about that. When we let the comforts of being familiar lead us into thinking that we're content. When we live to others' expectations and not to our own measures of happiness. That one stings a little bit, right? And when we resort to the tried and true, rather than confronting our failures and fears head on. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this Steve Jobs quote, but we don't have to have a long-term plan. We don't have to know where we'll be in a year or even 5 years from now, but we should act with purpose and make decisions that make us happy. Even if those decisions are disjointed and against the norms, the dots sooner or later will connect. So, are you ready for sooner rather than later? Maybe your routine is dictated by time. You might feel everything you're doing now within a 24-hour cycle is of the utmost importance. And if you could just squeeze out a few more minutes, you might be able to change and redesign your day. Well, Elizabeth Grace Saunders is the author of Divine Time Management. There you go. How to invest your time like you do your money. First of all, she says, you need to quit something. Now, this is a perfect time of the year. We are working up into that, you know, New Year's Eve resolutions. It's a great time for you to reassess what you're doing and what you're not doing and let go of activities that no longer make sense. One of the fastest, easiest ways to take back your time in 2020 is quit something. Quit a reoccurring meeting. Quit a committee. Quit Facebook. Quit Candy Crush. Quit a leadership position. Quit a program. Just stop. Many of these responsibilities easily take 2 hours a week, if not more. By taking them out of your life, you automatically open up space. How about limit something? Sometimes you can't or don't want to completely eliminate activities from your life, but you can open up more space in your life by setting firmer boundaries around them. So you still have space for other items that matter. For example, you might limit the amount of time you spend on email by checking it 3 times a day instead of constantly whenever you get that beeping light. Or you might limit the amount of time you spend on your phone apps to a certain number of minutes each day. Or you might limit how late you stay at work or limit the number of hours you watch Netflix. These limits could be really effective. This much and no more. This is all I'm going to do. Keep certain activities in their proper place. Even limiting activities by 30 minutes a day can lead to an extra 3.5 hours a week and 14 hours a month. Now, you know, I wrote that math down. That in turn opens up hours in your day for other items like exercising, reading, sleeping, and getting more work done, but good work, productive work. Maybe pause something. The feeling of never having a moment to stop and breathe can play a large role in feeling time poor. Do you feel time poor? So the anecdote can simply look like giving yourself permission to take a break. For example, choose to eat lunch away from your computer. That can give you a sense of peace and space, even if you're away from your desk for only 10 minutes, or go on a walk in the middle of the day, or give yourself permission to run an errand during your lunch break. Stopping for a moment to assert your ability to do non-urgent things reduces the sense of everything has to happen at the same pace, right? We just have all of these plates spinning at the same rate. Sometimes there's just crumbs on that plate. Sometimes it's a full plate. We don't know. We just keep them spinning. Now, I know this isn't going to make sense, but what about delegate. I know that's tough to do, but delegate something. Another way to have extra time in 2020, delegate activities that you don't need to do yourself. Now, for the control people out there, and I'm one of them, it's difficult to think about that because you think, why should I give it off to someone else? I could do it faster, easier. I don't want to take the time to explain it to someone else. Believe me, counterproductive. Okay? At work, that could look like delegating more to colleagues, assistants, or a contractor. Have you ever heard of Fiverr? That's a great little app. You can connect with all types of virtual assistants, and they can do small tasks. Actually, they can do kind of big tasks too, but it's great to check that out, and it's very inexpensive. Remember, time is money. Your time is valuable. As you plan your day, ask yourself, is this something that I really need to do myself, or could someone else do this instead? At home, that could look like recruiting assistance from your fellow household members or looking into services for everything from running errands to grocery shopping to cleaning. You can save yourself at least 4 to 5 hours a week by having other people help. Sounds impossible, doesn't it? Have you ever just looked at how much time you waste every day? We've talked about it before, but boy, if you work on the computer, and I would like you to raise your hand, even though I can't see you. If you only have one tab open at a time, one project going, I'd like to hear from you if that's the case. If you can really only have one tab open and stay completely focused on that one task until you get it done, that's something in these days. Most of us have multiple tabs over until the fact that it starts slowing our computers down. And we switch back and forth. All of a sudden, we're shopping online. Then we're checking social media. And then we just had a thought. How old is Dolly Parton? Better Google it. Then we go back to the email that we were midstream in sending. Then we go back to reading an article that somebody sent us. Oops, we just got a text. Better read that right away. Oh, an email, an alert for a meeting that we have to go to in just a few moments or get online with. Isn't that exhausting? We do that to ourselves. Because really, if we did one thing at a time, we could take back control. If we set a healthy boundary that said, I'm not going to work at that speed. I'm not going to juggle so many things. I'm making more time in my day for a mental break to change up this routine of always being accountable for every second. You know, when did that start? When did we decide that you should be able to text someone or call someone and they will immediately answer? Now, I know I use back in the day a lot, but, and because all the listeners are of all different ages, you can really apply back in the day to your own day and time. But for me, back in the day meant somebody had to take a message if you weren't home. Boy, and you better not have made your brother mad, right? Or you would never get that message. But somebody had to write it down or remember it and give it to you when you got home. That message didn't follow you throughout your day. It didn't beckon you to check it immediately. Then we got voicemail. That was pretty cool. An answering machine. You got an answering machine because then you could start taking messages or checking your messages. You could even check them when you weren't at home. It was kind of cumbersome, but you could still do that. But still, we weren't ruled by that routine. Now, you send a text to someone and you know that person has their phone. You know it's either sitting close to them, it's on their desk, or it's in their hand. And they're not texting you back. And whew, if they have the delivered and read receipt turned on, don't read that message and not respond right away. Why have we become so demanding with communication? It rules our lives. And because of that, it puts us in a damaging routine. we got to pump the brakes. Now, the last step in here from Elizabeth Grace Saunders is actually add something. Now, how could we add something? But if you want more time to do something you never have time for, start putting that activity first. Add an exercise class, book a trip, plan a get-together with friends, and don't cancel it. When you put first the activities you really want to do, the other tasks in life have a way of fitting in around them. Plus, if you find something you really want to do, don't you always find the time, money, and resources to do it? Now, I would definitely say breaking up your routine, which could be on autopilot with just work and extracurriculars, break that up and make some more fun human connections. Got a friend you should be doing coffee with? Do it. Make a date, even if it's weeks in advance. Believe me, it will be here before you know it. Make a date. You will be so thankful that you did. Don't just say it. Actually do it. Habits are powerful things. They're either enslaving habits or liberating habits. Horace Mann, the famed educator, wrote, "Habit is a cable. We weave a thread of it every day, and at last, we cannot break it." We're doing that to ourselves. Properly planned routines are habits of life that are rooted in meaning and purpose. So not all routines are bad. Disciplines that keep us moving in the direction that has been determined to be the best. Those are the best routines. Ruts, on the other hand, come from routines that have grown stale and empty. They may have started as good things, but they become roadblocks to growth. People get stuck in ruts and they may never get out unless they become self-aware. So are you ready to get out of that rut? Reevaluate your goals and update your wants and your needs? You might be stuck in a routine trying to get somewhere that you don't even want to go anymore. Routine ruts can prevent us from seeing new opportunities. Routine ruts can falsely keep us in our own comfort zones, never letting us stretch ourselves. Routines can keep us from finding our purpose and reaching our true potential. And I hope, as with all the Encouragementology shows, just to sort of bring up something, talk about it, get a different perspective, just little strategies for life's challenges. That's really the basis of Encouragementology, just a positive spin on different things. It's important to shine a light in those corners and, you know, switch off the autopilot and really take charge of what we're doing and where we're going. Now, I am pretty much a routine junkie too. I found that a long time ago that I like repetitive things. I don't know if you've noticed that about yourself, but for instance, tonight I've been copying and pasting all night into a spreadsheet. Now, I like stuff over and over again. When you get a little process going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's something that I respond well to. So I like things to be sort of systematic because it allows me to move along at a certain speed. However, I do build in time for brainstorming. I love creating new ideas. I love taking things that I'm doing and finding new ways to do it and fun things to add and creative things to do. And I've got a great accountability partner. I've talked about that before. If you don't have one, you need to find an accountability partner. And that's somebody that can help you mold and craft your goals. You know, someone that could be your spouse, it could be a family member, a friend, a constructive criticism person that can really be gentle but firm. It's important to have somebody in your life that you can bounce ideas off of and get positive but constructive feedback. You know, when you're getting off course, when you're overthinking things, when you're oversimplifying things, it's important to have that person. And that's what I like to do, is just spend some time thinking and creating. And then one thing that I do that I definitely urge everyone else to do, don't just think about it, do it. You know, if you've always wanted to try something, get started. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to be that today, but just getting started in the right direction. Just get going, because you can talk about it forever and never do it, right? And days turn into weeks, turn into months, turn into years, to decades, and you still haven't done it. So important, break that cycle, break that routine. You know, we talked about those identifiers. Are you actually in a rut? Well, I hope tonight this has shown you if, hey, I'm comfortable with my routine, it serves me well. Or, you know what? I do need to break out of those habits a little bit. I need to take a look at what James Clear said about those four different, that framework, those four steps. Those were brilliant. And then also how to apply those to building a healthy habit. Remember when we went through those, to make it obvious, make it attractive, make it easy, make it satisfying, right? And then how to break the bad habits, make it invisible, make it unattractive, make it difficult, make it unsatisfying, right? I love those ideas. And then we also talked about, you know, sometimes it's comfortable staying comfortable. We don't know that we need to change. We're kind of afraid to take that step, but we need to find our EQ, our empathy for ourselves. We really need to uncover our strengths and weaknesses, be honest with ourselves, forgive ourselves, create a way to move forward, space to move forward. That's important. Spend some time on yourself. That's what we're doing through this journey. I hope you're setting aside some time to really take a deeper dive. 6 years ago, I said, I need to go on a self-discovery journey. I need to start working on me. I need to stop fixing the world. Obviously, I couldn't fix the world, but at least stop trying and start really trying to understand who I was, who I am, and where I want to go. And boy, did that make a huge difference. It catapulted me, propelled me into a new direction. Really fun, purposeful direction. No longer in that routine rut of over-pleasing, but working on my own self. So I challenge you, recognize the rut and ask yourself, what's next? Don't get comfortable with the same old, same old. Push yourself to reevaluate and set your sights on a new direction. Make tomorrow the day you try something new and then go for it. Can you do that? I know you can. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Stumble through until the path was clear. That's when I'll find.